Lord, as we gather around your word, as we seek to be fed by you, Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who has come to unfold to us the mysteries of your life, death, and resurrection, the one who has come to indwell us so that your presence would always be with us. The one who is there to form us. So we call upon his presence now and open our hearts to the gift of his love. And I ask, Lord, that you equip and anoint me to bring your word this evening to your people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're celebrating today the Feast of the Ascension. And one of the images of the Ascension is of a great a king. You might think of Alexander the Great or Augustus Caesar. They go out with their great army and they conquer nations. But they do this for a particular reason. And they particularly like to conquer nations more powerful and more wealthy than themselves. Because when they invade another nation, they seek to gather the treasures of that nation to themselves. And then when they return victorious to their home city, say Rome or Athens, they come with all their soldiers who have been triumphant in battle and thousands of camels carrying all the treasures that they have pillaged and collected in their conquest. And so one image of Jesus dying on the cross is of him struggling and defeating all the powers of darkness and then breaking the power of Satan, snatching from Satan the keys of death and hell, and then rising triumphant to glory. And as he goes into glory, he casts the riches he has won upon us. So Pentecost is the outpouring of the victory of Christ on the cross. It's Christ sharing his victory with us. And that the great gift he gives us, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the very life of God that came forth from the heart of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was speared and that spear pierced his side and plunged into his heart, we're told that blood and water poured forth. And that is an image of birth, that we were born in that moment. We were brought to birth. And Jesus on the cross is like Adam dying. He was asleep. When Adam was in sleep, God placed him in sleep. He brought forth Eve from his womb. So we, the church, have been brought forth through Christ as he died on the cross. And this is what I want to share, talk about tonight, is this gift of the Holy Spirit. So tonight we will be those who have been involved in the preparation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll be praying for you to receive this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to talk briefly about the attitudes we should have. One of the key things, of course, is to have a desire, to really have a hunger and desire for the Holy Spirit. And I think that's one of the most important things, because desire is the thing that broadens and expands our hearts. When we really desire something, our heart grows so that there's a capacity to receive. And that's why we don't just sort of have one talk about the Holy Spirit and then pray. We draw it out over a few weeks so that this desire grows, this sense of anticipation grows. Secondly, we need to have faith. Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So God has promised us this gift. Jesus speaks of it as the gift of the Father, the gift of the Father. So we need to come with expectant faith. That means when someone prays with you and you pray yourself a prayer, you need to believe that God has answered you. When I first prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was a very simple thing. I wasn't at a prayer meeting. I wasn't even in a church. I was just in my own bedroom. And I knelt down beside my bed And I prayed a prayer of surrender to the Lord. I gave him my whole life, my friends, my family, my future, my hopes, my dreams. And I confessed my sin to the Lord. And then I said, Lord, please fill me, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. No fire, no wind, just faith. I said, Lord, I thank you have done that and I believe. I didn't have any spectacular things happen. And, you know, you may have things very dramatic happen or you may not. It doesn't matter. Because it's the faith that counts. And we're called daily to walk by faith, not by our feelings. And that was basically what a very strong teaching I had at that time. Don't put your faith in your experience. Put your faith in God's promises. And each day I renewed that prayer, saying, Lord, fill me again. And each day I tried to learn, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because it's not just receiving this great gift. It's learning to allow this gift to work and act in our lives. To learn to live in the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So we need to live in the new life of the Holy Spirit. That means we have to put to death the old life of sin. We need to turn from sin and allow the Holy Spirit to impart to us this new life, which is the life of Jesus. It's Jesus living in us. That's what this is all about. And then we need to be aware that the Holy Spirit will call us to take new steps. He will ask us to take new steps of faith. I remember watching a film about this young man. He was in South Africa and he was going through a very hard time. He was almost at the point of a whole mental and nervous breakdown because of the pressures he was under. And he went along to this Christian men's meeting, like a breakfast, where he heard the gospel. And he got up and he was quite moved by the testimonies of other men there. And he gave his life to the Lord and he prayed for the Holy Spirit to come into his life. And then he went to see the pastor, and the pastor said, look, it's wonderful what's happened to you. God has really made a change in your life. Now I'm going to give you something to do. The next three people you see, I want you to share their experience, your experience with them. So you see him walking down the street, and he used to go to the pub quite often. So he just walked past the pub, and as soon as he got near the pub, he saw one of his friends. And in the movie, you see him sort of try to change direction and so his friend wouldn't see him. But his friend calls out to him and said, hey, where are you going? So he ends up having to go into the pub with this friend of his. He was a pretty tough sort of guy. I think he was a policeman or something. And he realized, this is the first person I've got to share my testimony with. And that was hard. That was hard. But the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to share our faith, the power to live a different life. But the problem is often we're trying to move in our own strength. We need to learn to rest back in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit help us. But always it takes faith. We have to step out. If we just stay in the boat like all the other apostles, they'll never walk on water. It was Peter who had the courage and faith to step out of the boat. And that first step was the big one. Because after that, it was probably reasonably easy. Once he'd put that first step and the water held him up, then it was just a matter of making one step after the other. And that's really what our Christian life is about. It's just taking one step after another in faith. Saying, Lord, I trust in you. Whatever area of our life we are dealing with, it's a constant daily walking by faith. We also need to be aware that the enemy, we have an enemy, Jesus spoke about him, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the father of lies. He will want to take or rob you of what God is doing. He'll want to steal the gift that God wants to give you. And he might tell you, oh, look, you're just caught up in emotion. It's nothing really. The Lord won't give you this gift. You're not really worthy. The Lord only gives these gifts to special people. Satan has many strategies to discourage us and to steal the gifts the Lord wants to give us. So we need to be aware of his strategy and stand against him and say, no, God has given me this gift, and the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God doesn't change his mind. When God says, I'm going to do this, he does it. It may not happen immediately, but it will happen eventually. And finally, the gift of tongues, which is a very common gift given through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember on the day of Pentecost, all the disciples, 120, with our Blessed Mother, were in that upper room praying. The Holy Spirit, it said, came like a mighty wind. He came like a mighty wind. And then flames of fire descended upon everyone. It says they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But they began to speak. Any gift of the Spirit, we have to exercise faith. We have to take a step. It took me a long time to surrender to the gift of tongues. Years. I mean, I got baptized in the Spirit, but it was years later that I really said, Lord, I really want this gift of tongues. And one of the reasons I was hesitant was because of a lot of theology and teaching I was receiving put doubt upon this gift. But once those doubts had been cleared away, I realized it was just a matter of faith and saying, Lord, I thank you for this gift. And then you have to step out in faith. And it says they spoke in tongues. So we have to open our mouths and begin to speak, perhaps like a little child. Da, 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 da. And then the Holy Spirit, once we begin to speak, the Holy Spirit will take our gift of speech and he will make it into a word of praise, it may be a word of intercession, it may be a prophetic word, because they spoke in tongues and prophesied in Ephesus. So the Holy Spirit will manifest many gifts, and the gift of tongues I like to think of as a doorway into the supernatural. Once we learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in what Paul said is one of the lesser gifts, then that teaches us how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit for other gifts of the Spirit. And also, because we each are a temple of the Holy Spirit, what happens in a temple? There's prayer, there's praise, there's worship. Paul says the Holy Spirit groans within us inwardly in words that cannot be uttered as he intercedes for the saints. So the Holy Spirit is constantly praying within us to the Father. So when we speak in tongues, we are giving voice to this prayer. We're actually articulating the intercession and prayer of the Spirit and the worship of the Spirit within us. The gift of tongues is a beautiful gift. It's something that Paul says that edifies us. He who prays or she who prays in tongues edifies themselves. That means they build them up. And I find that before I preach, before I enter into ministry, I'll pray in tongues. And I feel like a tremendous strengthening through that. So I really encourage you to be open to the gift of tongues tonight. So let's just finish with a final prayer at the end of this sharing, a homily, so we can really allow the Holy Spirit to do all that he wants to do this evening, that we can really cooperate fully with God and his action tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are risen, that you are ascended, that you are truly the Lord of lords and King of kings, and that all authority and power is given to you. Lord, this evening, as we come into your presence, as we worship you, as we honor you as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our God, we want to surrender afresh our lives to you. Lord, we know there's things in our lives that we do that are not pleasing to you. And so we really want to surrender all that to you tonight so that it can be taken up into your love. It can be taken up into your transforming presence. And that we, as we unite ourselves with you in this Eucharist, can experience, Lord, a deep and profound healing, that we may know in a deeper way this beautiful gift and presence of your Holy Spirit, that he will be more active, more alive, more powerfully at work in each of our lives. Lord, we don't want to go from this Mass the same. We want to go out transformed, upbuilt, transformed and encouraged and strengthened to truly be your people in this hour, to be a light, Lord Jesus, to be filled with your presence and joy, to be able to share your love in a more profound and wonderful way. We just ask all the holy angels and saints who are with us now to continue in their prayers for us, that we truly will give honor and glory to you, Father, as we truly worship you in this Eucharist. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.